to take and declare, Lord Jesus,
Lord Jesus,
you are the only one that knows the fullness of your plan for my life. I give you praise as you continue to manifest yourself in all the things that are going on in my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. I want to kind of bring you back to when we spoke about on Tuesday about the king. Because our Savior is the king, but he's the king of kings. He's also the Lord and the Lord of lords. And a lot of times we, at the season that we're in, speak about St. Luke and his commentary about when Jesus came into this realm. And what I found is he wanted me to kind of press in about the reality of the miracle itself. So in John chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." The one who comes from the Father is revealed in this intense drama that presents itself in multiples of levels. And when the Lord puts out his word to us on a day that is commercialized, when I say that, I'm not trying to be critical of the commercial realm. However, Christmas has become a time of year that people consider from a practical point of view to be able to bless their friends, to bless their children, grandchildren, and you name it. But they don't realize the blessing that they've received and what we celebrate. Because the blessing that has been released to us is so much more than a baby. A baby is great, and I'm not against babies. In fact, I love babies, but they grow up. They can be turning out to be the nastiest little shrimps that you can find, or the kindest.
Why are you both looking at me? What are you doing? Wow.
Yeah, how did that happen, right?
I look over here, they're both looking at me. It spends like...
I don't know. I think what happened here, Felicity, I think what happened is God's showing up. Amen? They're cute when they're 6 months old, a year old, 5 years old, but then all of a sudden something happens, right?
Like me.
Careful.
Like me, right.
not you, Abby.
All teasing aside, I asked Gabby, because she went to the Catholic Church yesterday with her grandmother, and they had a pageant. So we were coming to church this morning, and she says, I said, what was the highlight of this whole experience, which lasted quite a while, and of course the pageant? And her comment was, the highlight for her was the baby. The baby was the comment. Baby did it all. Baby did it from beginning to end. Well, if we look at the Christmas story, again, it's the baby. But do we realize that he's God? And I was listening to one of the songs that, you know, Mary, Did You Know? It's an awesome song because it points out the drama of the mother who's carried this child, knows that it's a miracle from God, is fully aware that he's the Messiah, and I'm positive she's dealing with a lot of unbelief because of all the persecution. The persecution, the rejection from her family, from her husband-to-be, you name it. I mean, that little girl, which possibly could have been 14, and we don't know the numbers, that's not important. What is important is she went through just choosing to flow and to go forward with this pregnancy. And by rights, in the legal system of that day, she could have been literally stoned to death because she would have been declared unholy and soiled. Why would the Father in heaven choose to do such a thing to a young woman who's guilty of zero? She's guilty of absolutely nothing. Yet she's now being aware that the Word of God has become flesh and made his dwelling within her. And then she holds this baby, which is literally the glory of God in a flesh outfit. That puts a whole different package together. I remember when Gabriella came into this realm. She was born on my mother's birthday, and she knows that. Mom was born 90 years to the day, and within the same hour of the time that Gabby came into this realm. My grandson came out of the delivery room with Gabriella in his arms, and Mom, my wife and I, and a couple of others were in the room, and he walks in off the hallway. He's got Gabriella, he puts Gabby in my mother's arms. And you got to remember, my mother had only boys in her life. She wanted a girl, but it took 90 years for the God of heaven to deliver. So here's Mom holding this beautiful baby girl, and she's getting her first bath. They were the tears of her great-grandmother, had to wait 5 generations to have a baby girl. Was that the glory of God? It was, in a sense, for my mother to be able to hold something that she desired. But it was never allowed to go through her body because she had already born 3 and none of them lived. You don't know what goes on inside of a heart when there's a loss of that nature. But she understood it because she had lived it. My wife and I are watching Mom, and none of us are moving because we're all crying, watching the two of them having this intense moment. Why? Because the Word of God became flesh and made his dwelling in my mother's arms when Gabriella came into this realm. And then my mother was able to declare the glory of God in a new level, because every time she had had a child, it had passed before she got a chance to nourish and to hold and to cherish. You say, why are you bringing this up on a Christmas day? Because the baby is not the total picture, but it is a part of the picture where God, in his heavenly wisdom, releases his son in a vulnerable place amongst men, among his own creation that had turned sour. Yeah. All of humanity had turned sour on God. Not some, all. Why? Because the first son, Adam, failed. The first woman failed. she brought forth her firstborn, meaning Eve. She thought she had the Messiah. But it took 4,000 years for the real one to show up. For my mother, it took 90 years for her dream to come true. And I'm not picking on moms. I'm picking on all of us because there are dreams in all of us to see the glory of God in a new way. But every time you see a baby and you think of Christmas and you think of the hardship that Mary and Joseph went through, and yet they were holding on, that the glorious one was right in their midst. He was also the spirit of grace, and he was the spirit of truth. I press on verse 6, John 14, 6. John 14, 6. Here they're questioning our Savior. And Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So he's telling you, and he's telling me, that he is the Spirit of truth. Then in John 18:37, he says, "You are a king then," because he's being questioned by Pilate. And Jesus answered, "You are right in saying, I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born." Here he's declaring why he came as a child. "For this I came into the world, to testify to the truth." Why? Because all of the earth had been captured by lies. It was literally an earth full of lies. And a great percentage of the world still lives under the anointing of the spirit of lies. And that's a little scary. Take a deep breath. Say, "Holy Spirit, let me understand the next level." I'm going to repeat, "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born. And for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who sides of truth listens to me." In other words, if you are interested in truth, you'll hear the rest of the word of God. But if you're residing in lies and in the focus of lies, the truth will evade you. The truth will slip right past you. So my prayer is that when you realize that Jesus came into this realm to really manifest the spirit of truth and the spirit of grace, you'll understand what Christmas is for. I'd like to finish this off with Romans 3, 4. Romans 3, 4. "Not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail and when you judge." Titus chapter 1, verse 2. St. Paul is trying to tell us here that the lying forces have invaded and we need to be cautious, that God is the Spirit of truth. The Spirit of truth came in the form of a child and grew among us. He made himself known to the leaders of that day, and they rejected. But you see, when you and I acknowledged him, the spirit of lies was threatened. The spirit of lies may have been a part of your past, and there still could be some corners. How many know what I'm talking about? Little corners here and there that trouble you, and how is this all going to manifest? The only way that I've learned is to ask for revelation knowledge. The Holy Spirit is the counselor. He was sent into this realm so that he will counsel you in all truth. And he's not finished with any of us. I don't have one person that I know that can actually do the work of a believer. Because a believer is supposed to be able to lay his hands on the sick and the sick recover. He's supposed to command the dead to come back to life. And otherwise, he's playing church. He's playing church. He's still a baby. And we are babies. I'm not telling you we might. I am telling you we are. Because I haven't seen any of you raise anybody from the dead yet. And I'm not picking on you. I'm just trying to tell you, we've got a ways to go in the revelations of what came at Christmas. Because you see, there's something else. The scripture says that he was laid in a manger. Amen? And I was reading in Joseph Sprint's little book this morning. Okay? And I've been to places where you see this trough. And it's made out of stone. It's hammered out so that there's a section of it available to put food in for the animals. And that's where they put Jesus. And it was a sign for the unbelievers. Because you see, in the empty tomb in Jerusalem, which I've also been to, that's what you see. And in fact, the particular tomb that, there's no absolute, but there was an anointing in that area. They've got a section about 18 inches long that you can see was not part of the original because it's chipped out, but where the feet would have been, it was hollowed out at like the last minute because the chipping away is done in a rough way. The rest of it has been hewn, it's been sanded down, it's been evened out, but there's about 18 inches. And the average Jew of that day did not measure anywhere close to 6 feet, but Jesus was tall. And so, whatever tomb it is, if it is the one that he actually laid in, they had a quick work to get another 18 inches in there and make it bigger. But the sign was that he would be put into one of those mangers and wrapped in swaddling clothes. You know, he was wrapped in those same kind of clothes when he was dead. But when he came back to life, he showed his power and his glory was visible. But not to everyone. He showed himself over and over for a number of days. And his glory will return. That's the message I have for you for Christmas. So close your eyes. Say, I need to see more.
I need to see more.
I need to understand more.
I need to understand.
And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to counsel me. Get me to understand the fullness of the Christmas message. Amen? And amen. Blessings to all of you. I want to say thanks for all that you guys have done. The cards, the well wishings, the gifts, and so on. I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. And just know you are appreciated. And again, I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue revealing the intense reality of what the Father did at this season. God's joy to all of you.